Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Well, we started the subject of prayer a couple of weeks ago. And I want to get back to that subject of prayer on Sunday morning because God's doing something here. Today I want to talk to you about building a house for God. Building a house of prayer. Building a house of prayer. And I want to review a little bit because this was a couple of weeks ago when we started this particular subject. Remember, we looked in the Bible at Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 40, about two sisters. Martha was one sister, and the other sister was Mary, and they invited Jesus to their house to eat, which was a big deal because Jesus came with a big company of people. And we looked in Luke chapter 10, 38 through 40, and we saw a valuable lesson as we looked at beginning to look at the introduction to the subject of prayer. And there it says, Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. She had a sister, Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet. So Mary's sitting down with Jesus at his feet, listening to every word that he has to say. But Martha was distracted. She's out in the kitchen making sandwiches and all that kind of stuff. And Martha got a little ticked off at her sister sitting there at Jesus' feet and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister's out here, left me alone? I'm back here in the kitchen working. Tell her to come help me, which sounded like a reasonable request to her. But Jesus said these important words, and it's so important, God wrote it down in his book for us. He said, Martha, Martha, you can put your name in there, Gary, Gary, Pam, Pam. You are worried and troubled about many things, but only one thing's needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Now, it's interesting to me that if you know anything about the Bible originally didn't have chapters and it didn't have chapter breaks and verses lined in it. So it just continues to flow. So if we continue to flow in the Bible the way it was written, then we flow right after this, right into chapter 11, verse 1. It just flowed right. And then this is what it says right after this incredible experience. It says, and Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he ceased, his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us how to do that. Teach us how to pray. I find that fascinating. Of all the things that the disciples saw Jesus do, even raising people from the dead and healing blind eyes and healing lame people and everything, of all things, they said, if you could teach us one thing, would you just teach us how to do what you do called prayer? Teach us about prayer. They saw a connection in his life with him, his prayer life, and how it manifested in everything else that he did. And of all the things they said that they wanted to learn from him, they wanted to learn how to pray. Because they often saw him go off alone to pray, and early in the morning hours or whenever. But Jesus would just spend time face to face with the Father and talking with the Father. And they saw that's where his strength comes from. That's where his wisdom comes from. That's where his peace comes from. That's where his power comes from. It comes from this thing that he does called prayer. There are only three things that the Lord impressed upon my heart beginning of this year to preach on to this church this year. One was love, which we just went through many months of the subject of love. The second one is prayer, and the third one will be praise. But for however long the Lord wants, we're here to learn about prayer because he wants us to know how to pray. It's the secret of the Christian's life. It's the secret of power. It's the secret of your help. It's the secret of your deliverance. It's the secret of living the life that God intends you to live. It's to learn how to, Lord, teach me how to pray. I'd like you just to express that right now to God, just out loud. Would you just say, Lord, teach me how to pray. I need to know. I think I know, but I don't know. Teach me how to pray. So they saw this incredible connection. In my about 39 years of coming to know the Lord, I have admired people that have a quality of godliness that I see manifested in their life. And I'm attracted to that. I'm drawn to that. There's a peace that they have. I mean, godly people have a great peace about them. And I look at them and I say, I want that. They have a quiet confidence in their soul that just manifests to me as a sweetness and a gentleness and a kindness that I say, I want that. I want what they have. And every one of these godlike people that I've met through the years, I noticed that every one of them have gone through some tremendous trials. I mean, they haven't had a carefree, easy life. Most of them had a lot of difficult trials, but you couldn't tell it by looking at them at that moment. They looked joyful. And then the one thing that every single one of them that I have noticed has, they have a priority in their life established that there is nothing nor no one that's ever going to come between my relationship and to God. That's every one of them, bar none. Every one of them have that kind of established thing that there's nothing or no one, not my career, not my work, not my family, not my spouse, not my children. No one comes before my relationship with God. And every one of them have a strong prayer life. That's what I've noticed. That's what I've noticed. And Janice, I just saw you over here, honey. Would you do me a favor? I'd ask you to be ready to give your testimony this week. You want to come up here and quickly do that? I don't mean to pressure you, but I'm not pressuring you. Just it's important. It's right here in the middle of the message, but it's important. All right, I hope I got this one on here. This is Janice Law, everybody. Say hi, Janice.
I'm Janice Laws from Tennessee. I'm getting ready to go back. I'm a snowbird.
Hold that close to you. There you go.
But I just have to, let me just say, if you don't know Jesus, before you walk out this door, you be sure that you know him. Because this story I'm going to tell quickly. A few weeks ago, I was driving just slowly around Bacara, which is near Spanish Springs, which is near my villa. And just real slowly, just nice day. And I looked in my rearview mirror and saw a car flying towards me. Behind me. I didn't have time to press on the pedal or anything. And just at the last second, the car veered off and hit a wall. Oh, and I was just in shock, and I just kind of eased away. I saw people gathering around, so I just said, thank you, Lord, and take care of that person. And I thought that was all. Later, my friends told me in my area that take the village's paper that two people were coming out of Winn-Dixie and that car hit them before it hit the wall. And it killed them. And I didn't even know that. But I just thank the Lord that he spared me. And I want to be used by him. And I just want to have a couple of things real quick. He has healed my back of the MRI said that I had fractures all down my back. I haven't had pain. And Hallelujah. He has brought me through over a year after losing Bob. I didn't lose him. He's in heaven.
Yep.
And we had a little 10th great-grandchild, Bobby, they named him. And he was born without a soft spot. And Dorothea prayed for me about it. And he did have the surgery. He's a happy little three-month-old. He's doing great with his little helmet. Amen. But I just want to give God all the glory and thanks. Thank you.
Awesome, honey. Thank you so much, Janice. Amen. Well, God answers prayer. I guess that's what I'm trying to tell you. God answers prayer. He's really serious about prayer. He created prayer, you know. And everybody who's ever had this likeness of Jesus that I seem to pick up on real quick about people, they have a deep prayer life. So I said, I want to have a deep prayer life. And I said that long ago when we first began with the Lord. And I wanted to hang around people that had a strong prayer life, because prayer is more caught than it is taught. You learn how to pray by praying. You learn how to drive a car by driving. You learn how to write by writing. You learn how to exercise by exercise. You learn how to pray by praying. So you want to be around people that really have a strong prayer life. And unfortunately, we are living in the most distracted generation that has ever been on this planet. Amen. Statistics say that 90.4% of millennials and 77.5% of Generation Xers and 48.2% of baby boomers spend an average of 3 hours a day on social media and messaging. I'm not saying that that's wrong. We're not even talking about looking at TV. We're talking about a generation that doesn't know how to be still. A generation that really, if they pray, they pray on the run while they're in the car, while they're going here. And it's just the flare prayers of, Lord, help me. They don't know how to do what the ancients knew how to do in the time of Jesus. How to spend time alone with God and pray. How to be still and listen for the voice of God. They don't know how to fast. They don't know how to pray. They've lost some of these things that the church is supposed to have. Amen. Because they're just a distracted generation. They're busy. They're going somewhere, doing things. But they don't know how to intentionally take the time to know how to really pray. Now, I don't know if you've ever experienced this before, but I have. There are times when people pray for you, but then there are times when people pray for you. And if you've ever had to know the difference, man, you know when somebody knows how to get a hold of God and pray. There's just something about it that it's not how loud they pray or how long they pray. It has nothing to do with that. It's just there's a heart-to-heart connection. It starts off instantly. And you know, you just know there's a connection because this person has learned how to pray. And how did they learn? Probably through going through a lot of hardship, a lot of trials, but they learned how to get a hold of God and hang on. And the old terminology is they learned how to get a hold of the horns of the altar. They learned how to pray. They learned how to stay in prayer until they prayed through something. Till they came out to the other side and they were giving thanksgiving and joy and praise to God even before anything in the natural ever changed. They just knew how to pray. And we need this. We need to learn. We're the Christians. This is our hour, our time to shine. It's our world, our distracted world. We've got to learn how to pray. And you learn how to pray by praying. You just start. Let me finish. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Jesus said this. He said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners that they may be seen of men. Truly I say unto you, they have their reward. There are some people who like to pray, but they're really not praying to God. They're praying to be seen. There's a time of public prayer, and we need to all pray corporately together. We need to have public prayer, and that's important. We need to learn how to pray together. And this church does this quite well. We have an awesome group of intercessors. They meet before church on Sunday mornings over here in the room back in the back, and we welcome you to come to learn how to pray. Just be with them. Just be in the presence. And they pray right before church, starting at 9:30. And then on Monday mornings, they meet here for prayer, and sometimes in the sanctuary, sometimes in that area over there, and Tria leads that. And it's also always an awesome time. It's different every time we meet. But if you want to learn how to pray, ultimately, it's one thing to pray corporately, but you're going to have to learn how to pray privately. And this is where Jesus said in verse 6. He said, "But you, when you pray, enter your closet," or just a room, "and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who's in secret. And your Father who sees in secret, He'll reward you openly." Amen. This idea of shutting the door means you've got to cut out the distractions. Yeah. You can't take a cell phone into the prayer room and expect to just give God your undivided attention. The devil knows your number. He'll call you. I mean, there are times where you cannot afford to be away from the phone in an emergency. I understand that. But I'm saying if you're really going to learn how to pray, the Lord says, "But you," this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to shut the door of distractions in your life. If you really want to pray, you're going to give God your undivided attention. You're going to have to shut the door, whatever that is to you. You're going to have to tell people, "Don't bother me right now. It's God and I time." Don't let your cell phone go off or whatever, but you're going to have to find a place. It's in secret. Nobody but you and God. And God, who knows your heart, He knows the thoughts, the intentions of your heart. He knows everything about you. He wants you to come and lay your heart bare before Him. You don't have to sit there and confess everything over and over and over. He already knows it. Just be real. Be real with God. Personally, I like to, you don't have to do it this way, I like to just lay down on the floor, my face on the ground or my back porch on the concrete, and just talk to God. And He already knows everything about me. He knows my flaws. He knows my sins. He knows my struggles. He knows my issues. He knows where I'm doubting. He knows where I have unbelief still resonating in me. He knows everything about me. So I come before my Father in secret. And here I bear everything that I would never bear in public with everybody. But I bear my soul to Him who knows me. Amen. And I meet with Him. And it has to be in secret. It's between He and I. Amen. And my Father who sees in secret. I can tell Him everything. Tell Him what I'm afraid of, and if I have fears, if I have issues, and He hears me. The Father who hears in secret, He'll reward you openly. Amen. So you need to have, if you don't have, a time of secret prayer. Just you and God. Now here's some things I recommend when you meet with God in prayer. Here's some things I recommend to you. First of all, you need to have a place. An undistracted place. That's why it says shut the door. You're shutting the door of distractions. You need to find a place you can be totally alone with God. Second, you need to have a time. If you don't have a regular time to pray, you probably will not grow in your prayer life. You can't hit and miss. Have an appointed time. Like you make an appointment with a doctor, you show up. You make an appointment with a lawyer, you show up. You got an appointment with God, you show up. The best time in the Bible, according to Jesus, is early morning. Before you get out in your busy day. Get up a little earlier. Sacrifice some time and have an appointment with God. I have a time designated. I meet with God. Nobody else can interfere. I have an appointment. Someone calls or needs, "I'm sorry, I have an appointment." Amen. My appointment is with God. Then you have a plan. Meet with God and His Word. Take the Bible. God speaks to you through the Bible. Prayer is not just talking, telling God what you need. It's also listening. Amen. It's listening. And I recommend take a notebook. Like I always have a notebook just about everywhere I go. I carry a notebook with me and a pen. Because I'm expecting God's going to give me some kind of impression or give me some kind of thought or an idea. And I need to write it down. And the faintest ink is stronger than the strongest memory. You can't remember it all. It's prideful for you and presumptuous for you to think you're going to remember everything. Write it down. And much of the time for me, God's voice comes into my heart. I don't hear an audible voice. I hear His voice in my heart because I'm familiar with His Word. I read His Word every day. I'm familiar with the thoughts that quickly relay to me, this is the thought from God. And I write it down. And it comes often as a spontaneous thought. And so I write them down. And you can see in my book here, I write down in black what I'm talking to God about. And then I take a red ink pen and I write down what I believe He's saying to me. And if I'm not sure about something, then I can confirm it with the Word. Does it line up with the character of God? Because thoughts that come from God line up with His character. Thoughts that are from Satan line up with His character. People say, how do I know? Is it God or Satan? Well, you can tell pretty easy if you just check it out, you know. And many times, like my mom will say, she'll say, well, something's just telling me I should do this or I should read that. Well, that something is the Holy Spirit. If it lines up with God, see. Amen. And so it's not hard to hear from God. In fact, next week, I'm going to talk to you more detail about listening and hearing God's voice. You need to be here because we're going to go into some great detail next week about that. But specifically today, I want to talk to you about this subject of having a quiet time with God, making an appointment every day of your life where you decide there's nothing more important. Just like Mary, even though there was a lot of things going on over here where her sister expected her to help her and expected her to stop what she's doing, get over here and help me, Mary had already decided what's the priority. The priority is for me to sit at His feet and hear His word until He's done. That's the priority for my life. Now, have you ever been driving down the road and suddenly a thought will come to you that you need to pray for somebody? Anybody ever have that happen to them? Quite a few of you. Well, where'd that thought come from? That was a thought that came from God. And often God speaks to you through a thought. It's a spontaneous flow. And that's why you write it down. And it certainly didn't come from the devil. The devil ain't going to tell you to pray for somebody. So, I mean, that's pretty easy to figure out. Several months ago, we had a time here at the church called the Fourth Watch. And it was like from 3 o'clock in the morning till 6. And I wasn't sure when I said, hey, we're going to have a prayer meeting at 3 o'clock in the morning. I wasn't sure how many people would be excited about that. But boy, was I surprised. There was a number of people that came during that time, and the whole purpose was just to come and sacrifice some time and be alone with God, undistracted, and just talk to Him and listen to Him. Well, I was sitting right here, minding my own business after a couple hours, and I was thinking about, we had a board of directors meeting. We went over to Titusville, and there's Peter Lord's old church there and prayer chapel. And I took the board into the prayer chapel, wanted them to see it. And I kind of always have had a dream of maybe one day we'll have a prayer chapel, you know, 24/7. It'd be open and people could come and pray, you know, whatever. And I was sitting here thinking about that. And one of the things that we saw over there this time at the prayer chapel was a vision of a board on the walls, a prayer wall. And it had a place where people could take little pieces of paper like they do in Israel, you know, when you go to the Western Wall. And you can put a prayer request or something in that, stick it in that wall. Well, I snapped a picture of that and I came back and I shared it with John Moorhead. And John, I said, John, do you think you could make this? And John got his neighbor, Don, to come and work on this. And they started it. Anyway, I was sitting here. In my mind, I had a vision, a thought. You don't need to have a prayer chapel. Use the sanctuary. Amen. my house will be called a house of prayer. And I looked over here, and I looked over there, and you see those two banners laying down there, Redeemer, Deliverer. We have two more to go over here. And I visualized in my mind what you see over there right now. Lord, hear my prayers. That was what we saw over there at the prayer chapel. And so there's going to be another one right over here underneath those banners, and those banners will go back up over there. So we have, and we'll have a time where we dedicate these, but people have already started, obviously, and they got the point of that God wants us to be a church that's known as a house of prayer. So when people come in, they'll be able to go over and they can spend some time in prayer right there and put their request in right up there. And people need something that is physical to know that I have committed something to God. Amen. You know, it's one thing to think it in your head, but it's another act to do something physical. I've written out my prayer. I've given it to God. I've committed it to God. Now I come back and I just thank Him for it. So that's the idea, that we'll have those finished up here in a few weeks, and we'll dedicate those, and people already start to do that. But I saw that in my mind as I was sitting here during the fourth watch. And praise God, it's coming about. Look at it. There's the first one right there. Praise God. It's starting to happen. Jesus called, of all things, He said, my house will be called a house of prayer. Not a house of preaching, but a house of prayer. Of all things. I want to show you something. Isaiah 66, Old Testament scripture. God is speaking. He said, heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you'll build for me? Where is the place of my rest? But on this one, this person, this type person will I look. Him who is poor and contrite in spirit, and who trembles at my word. Amen. That's what God said. That's the Old Testament. Notice, I'll emphasize, on this one, will I look. Next scripture. On this one will I look. Him who is poor, who is contrite in spirit, and who trembles at my word. Who really believes my word. And the words poor there simply mean not poor financially, but poor to realize, God, I don't have anything to offer you but my heart. What can I give God who's got everything? Contrite just simply means you're humble enough to realize that you have sin and you need forgiveness. And to tremble at His word means I believe, and when God speaks, I respond. When God says to do something, I do it. I tremble at His word. Now listen, we can't build a house for God. This building is not God's house. It's a building. God doesn't live in a building. That's ridiculous to think that we can make a house for God. The church is not the house of God. Jesus said it would be a house of prayer. But it's not a house of God. Now, if you're born again, that means you have received Jesus in your life as your Lord and Savior. You've been born of the Spirit of God. You're not just religious. You've actually had an encounter with God to where your heart's changed, and now you have an appetite for the things of God. If you're born of the Spirit of God, Paul said it this way. He described you and me this way. He says in 1 Corinthians 3, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's building. Amen. You. Amen. And no one can lay any other foundation, which is Jesus Christ. So the building program began the day that you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior and really meant it from your heart. That is the day the foundation was laid. I remember the foundation being laid out here. Remember when we came out about 4 o'clock in the morning and we were driving up to Living Waters and they were laying the foundation of this property, of this building that we're in right now. And the people here who are members had come out earlier the day, not long after that, rather, and they wrote scriptures on after it dried and all that stuff. But that 4 o'clock in the morning we came out and they were pouring the concrete of this building. And one of the members felt like in their heart, God said, this building needs to be built upon the foundation of the Word of God, and ran home and got his Bible and brought his Bible back and laid his Bible in the wet concrete. Because this building needs to be built on what God says. And so I remember that foundation being laid. And you should remember a day, a time in your life when the foundation was laid. Not everything was built at once, but there was a foundation that definitely happened. You were definitely born again. You don't question that anymore. The foundation is solid and sure. And then you build upon that foundation. Then Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says these words like a warning to us who are believers who have the foundation of Jesus. He says, now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold and silver and precious stones, eternal things, or wood, hay, and stubble, temporary things, worldly things, each man's work's going to be revealed. And the day will reveal, there's a judgment day coming when God will come and inspect his building. Amen. Will it pass or fail? And if you're born again, obviously it'll pass. The foundation is passed. It'll pass, there's no doubt about that. Because he says the fire will reveal it. Yeah. Our God is a consuming fire, a pure fire. Jesus is coming back with fire in his eyes, passion, purity. And it says, if any man's work is burned up, he'll suffer loss. Christians, he's talking about Christians. Christians suffering loss. But he himself will be saved, going through the fire. All the stuff he added and built on his life after he was born again, after he became Christian, after he became a follower of Jesus, were stuff that could just be burned up. And when the fire comes, and if it's just worldly stuff that has nothing to do with God and God didn't lead you to do it, then it'll burn up and then you'll have nothing but a foundation left, but at least you'll be saved. Praise God for that. But don't settle for that. We're here on earth for a certain amount of time because we're supposed to be partnering with God and building God a house that he likes to dwell in. And one of those things that he likes to dwell in his house, he likes his house to be saturated with prayer. The house he likes to live in has a sweet fragrance of prayer. So you are building a house with your life, with your time, with your energy. And if all you're doing is trying to chase after career or chase after money or chase after fame or recognition or approval of other people, then all those things are going to be burned up one day and you're going to suffer loss. A Christian, you're born again, but you're going to suffer loss. And God's going to say to you, why did you waste your life searching for things? I had so much more for you. I had things for you to do, places for you to go, people for you to experience, and things for you to enjoy. But you never experienced it. You wasted your life on foolish, temporary, worldly things that you thought you needed for security or significance. Hello. So a Christian can suffer loss. I did a little internet search the other day about regret and thinking about when people are dying, what are their regrets? And I went through a lot of them and I just compiled about 5 of the many regrets that Christians can have when they are facing inevitable death. And here are some of those regrets, just 5 of them. Number one is, I wish I'd have served God more. On the deathbed, the Christian, they'll say, I wish I'd have served God more. I regret that I didn't. Number two, I wish I had expressed more love to people, especially my family. And part of that goes in, I wish I'd have forgiven quickly, not held on to grudges. Number three, I wish I'd have learned more about God instead of spending all the time on TV. Number four, I wish I'd have told more people about God. And number five, I wish I hadn't wasted so much of my life on foolish things. Amen. Top five regrets of Christians. Well, the good news is the clock's still running. Amen. I'm glad you can make a U-turn. Praise God. I've made so many U-turns in my life that my car doesn't even have to ask me about, do you want to make a U-turn? It just does it automatically. Quick, I'm going the wrong way. I figure it out. Man, that was dumb. That was stupid. I don't know why I'm doing this. Whoop, turn around right now. Don't keep going that way and run the clock out. So today, I'm just going to land the plane, but tell you that I believe with all my heart God's calling this church prophetically into a much deeper walk with God, and the number one priority is prayer. He wants you to become a house of prayer. You. He wants you to build Him a building with your life called a house of prayer. So I already pray. Well, you need to go deeper. There'll be times the Lord will wake you up in the midnight hour and you don't know why you wake all of a sudden and blink, your eyes are open and you're not thinking anything about particular. That's when you ought to be still and ask God, Lord, is that you? If so, I'll get up. You'd be surprised how many times God will wake you up in the middle of the night. One time I had a period of time where every single night for I don't know how long, exactly the same time, it was 3:33 on my clock. He woke me up. I said, God, you've got a great sense of humor. Why 3:33? And then He said to me, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things you do not know. God's address, Jeremiah 33:3. So I get up. One morning in particular, I got up and I just knew God wanted to talk to me about something, and I went into my little office and I sat down and I waited and I prayed God, thank God. I said, here I am, God. What do you want to talk about? Nothing came. I said, well, maybe I was wrong. I'm going to go back to bed. And right before I did that, I heard a song in my head. It just came out of nowhere. I'd never heard this song before. And I can't remember for the life of me the melody of it today. But I remember some of the words. And the words and the melody were clear. It was something like, can't you hear my children crying? Can't you hear my children crying? Can't you see my children are dying? And I don't have all the words with me, but I wrote it all out. And then I heard the kind of the melody, and I started singing it back to God. Don't you hear my children crying? They're dying, and had to do with, you know, their mom letting them be aborted. And I wept when I heard those words coming out of my mouth, and I wrote them down. And I sang that for about an hour back and forth to God in prayer. That was my prayer, singing back to Him. And then there was a time I was done. And then I went back to bed. Got up the next morning. I told Pam about this. This is a weird experience, Pam. God woke me up at 4 and I heard this song. And I sang this song about children dying and crying. And then it kind of dawned on me that what He wanted me to do was to take this song, drive to Ocala, and there was an abortion clinic there right off the highway, and walk around that abortion clinic and just sing that song. So I told Pam, I said, this is really weird. This is what I think God wants me to do. She said, well, you ought to do it. Thank God for a wise wife. So I jumped in the car and drove to Ocala, and praying all the time, God, I don't know if there's going to be people there. I might be arrested. I'm not maybe supposed to be on the property. I don't know how I'm going to be received. Got there. There was nobody there. It was closed down for that. It was a Saturday. And I got out, and I walked around that building, and I sang that song I just sang that song. And I did that for about 45 minutes, and I knew I was done. Mission complete. Don't understand it. Doesn't make any sense to me. I didn't talk to anybody. Wasn't anybody there. Nobody saw me. Got back in the car. Drove home. What was that all about? I have no idea. But I do know this. Sometime later, that abortion clinic was closed and turned into a church. I'm not taking credit for that. No. Don't think it was me. There were probably 1,000 other people. But God heard the cries of children. And he woke me up to tell me about it. It was on his heart. It wasn't on my heart. It was on his heart. But thank God I had the sense enough at that time. I don't always have that. To get up and listen to hear what's on his heart. And his heart touched my heart. I think that's what prayer is all about. What's on your heart today, God? And then let him direct your prayers rather than just kind of go through your little ritual, you know. What's on your heart, God? I'm in your house. You're in my house. I built this house for you. What do you want to say? What do you want to talk about? And he'll tell you. And then you pray about that. Secretly. But then God says, I'll reward you openly. So today's message is building a house of prayer. I take what you said, Michelle, the Lord said to you. God said to you, I will do what the people allow me to do. Is that correct? Did you hear that? God says, I will do what the people allow me to do. He will not force you. So, God, I don't understand so much. You know, I don't know much. But God, I do know you want your church, this church right now, for this season especially, for what we're about to go into, you want the whole body to build you a house of prayer right here. And I can't make that happen, but I can call you to it. And God will do it if you allow him. And if you would just be so humble today to just come up before the Lord and just say, Lord, teach me how to pray. I think I know, but I really don't know. And I want to pray by listening to you and become a house of prayer. Lord, hear my prayers. He does. But do you hear his? Prayer is both talking and listening. We're good at talking. We're not very good at listening. And maybe that's why he had me get up early in the morning, because I was talking too much. And I had to learn to listen. And maybe you're the same way. But I believe an honest, humble heart that comes before God today and says, I want to learn how to pray. I believe God will help you. So today we're talking about a house called prayer. Next week we're going to be talking more about hearing God. Would you stand together? Altar workers, would you join me? If you're here today and you've never received Jesus as Lord and Savior, that's number one priority. You need a foundation. You don't build a house without a good foundation. And the foundation is believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord, your God, and your Savior. If you've never done that, then I invite you to respond to this altar call and come up to any one of these people and say, help me, I want this foundation laid today. I want to be born again. I want to know I'm born again. I want to receive Jesus in my life, and I want the foundation. I believe in him, but I need to make sure I got a foundation. And then after that, it's time to build the house of prayer. And I would urge you, don't be prideful and think I know how to pray. Come to God and say, God, teach me. Teach me how to pray. I'm going to ask you to bow your head, and I'm going to pray for you. And then I'm going to ask you to respond quickly. Father, I thank you for the people who've allowed me the opportunity, the privilege to proclaim to you what I believe you've said and showed me. And now, Father, I pray that it will take root. I pray that my words would not just be words of men, but as has been prayed, that it would be a demonstration of the Spirit of God and the power of God. I pray that my words have teeth, that they grab, that they get hold of, that they sink in to the hearts of people. I pray that your word will be like a hammer that breaks up the hard places of rock and hardness and stubbornness and obstinance. I pray, Father, that your word be like a fire, that it goes in and it consumes the dross. It consumes those cancerous growths in our spirit that are keeping us from the potential of becoming the house of prayer that sees miracles, signs, and wonders in our lifetime. I pray that today, God, breakthrough that you told me, I am giving you breakthrough, that it manifests this moment in the lives of people who will allow you to have your way with them. And I ask God for the midnight hour. I ask for the midnight oil in our lamps that will cause us to wake up and be alone with you and to hear your voice and to have secret pockets of prayer throughout our life when you call us to come aside from everything else and sit at my feet like Mary. I pray for that same anointing that was on Mary of Bethany to be upon this church and to be upon your people. God, I pray for the spirit of prayer to come and rest upon these people. I pray for the spirit of prayer to rest upon our prayers and teach us how to pray like Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The Bible tells us every time we pray that we should end with thanksgiving, believing that what we've prayed for in the will of God, it is done. It is finished. A work has been done today. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now, if there's anybody here who needs to receive Jesus, come forward. Come to me or come to anybody up here. Anybody here that needs to pray for anything or just to dedicate yourself to be a house of prayer, respond. Come to the altar. Lay it down before God. Spend the next few moments talking and listening to God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name. In his name. We pray with authority. We bind up every demonic stronghold right now that would hinder. We come against the works of Satan, drug addiction. We come against all of that. And we declare that the Lord Jesus himself sets you free. If you let him, if you humble your heart, he will do it. He that began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it because he is faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you for hearing my prayers. Thank you, God. Our prayers. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're ready to go, God bless you, go. If you want to come and pray, come and pray. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his countenance shine upon you. Be gracious unto you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.